Today, we hear two stories about persistence. And so although it is not very Episcopalian of me, I would like to ask for some call and response. So I'm going to say, be persistent. And I just want you to say back to me, be persistent. Be persistent.
Be persistent.
Be persistent.
Be persistent.
Be persistent.
Be persistent.
Excellent. So what God is teaching us today, or part of what God is encouraging us to do today, is to be persistent. So in the gospel today, we have the story of the persistent widow. And she is a woman who desires justice, who is disadvantaged in the scope of society because she has no one to represent her or look after her interests. And at the period of time in which Jesus was teaching, women didn't have the ability to hold possessions in the same way, to hold land, to care for themselves in the same way. And so they really needed someone to look out for them. And this has been a theme throughout the Hebrew scriptures. We hear about the care of orphans and widows, the fatherless, the childless, those who are left on their own and can't fend for themselves, who fall victim to unjust structures in society. And so in this story today, we hear about the widow who just won't quit. She is persistent. She may be hungry. She may be unhoused. She may be in failing health. And it seems as though there is someone who has done her wrong, because she comes to the judge and she says, give me justice against my opponent. And the judge doesn't care. He's not interested in listening to the widow. In my mind, I think it's because whoever her opponent is probably somebody in power, somebody with money. Maybe it's a landlord who's kicked this widow to the curb because she doesn't have a husband. Maybe it's somebody that has taken her property under unjust means. Maybe it's somebody that she has stubbed her toe or tripped or fallen in front of their establishment and she needs medical expenses. Any number of things. It's hard to say. In the ancient world, we don't have a lot of those records. But one way or another, the judge is biased in favor of the other person and is not interested in hearing the case of the widow or finding fault with the other person. Even though it seems obvious to any reasonable person that whoever it is the widow is seeking justice against owes her some sort of justice. Maybe it's just a roof over her head. Maybe it's just an apology. But the judge just won't hear her case, except that she is persistent. She is so aggravating, so unstoppable, so persistent, that the judge says, oh, I just want some peace and quiet. If I don't listen to this woman, she is going to be at my office door every day at 9 a.m. asking to see me, asking me to hear her case, and bugging me nonstop. So I suppose to get rid of her, to make my life easy, even though I don't really care how this turns out, I will sit on my judge's bench. I will have her come in. I will have the person that she is complaining against come in, and we will have it out. Fine. I just want peace and quiet. And Jesus teaches us, if even a judge like this will listen to a woman who is persistent, somebody who has no power and is just persistent and even irritating, how much more will God listen to us? Because God is not the unjust judge. God is the ultimate just and caring judge. God loves us. And God isn't even an impartial judge. God doesn't weigh things equally. God is always putting God's finger on the scale in our favor, because God loves us. So no matter what wrongdoing we may have in our past or in our future, any mistakes that we make, God is always willing to hear our case and find a way through it with us, to teach us and to guide us in ways that help us to learn to be better people to one another, better children of God to one another, but always with mercy and love. Now, let me talk about how much mercy and love. Because I think that we can all agree that we're all fairly competitive, even if you're not like the most competitive person you know. But you might be very competitive around your favorite sports team or that one particular thing that you're really, really good at, that nobody can beat you when it comes to making brownies with walnuts, something like that. I can't make very good brownies with walnuts. I use that as an example. But let's look at our reading from Genesis. This story is typically what we call Jacob wrestling with an angel. And sometimes it's even the angel of the Lord, which in Hebrew scripture typically stands in for some kind of, we don't quite understand it, but maybe that is a physical manifestation of God. And so this is Jacob wrestling with an angel, maybe wrestling with God, and he's winning. And this is a curious thing to me. I was trying to figure out, well, why, if you're wrestling with a messenger of God who is responsible for, you know, wiping out all the firstborn in Egypt, for instance, how is he losing? How is it that God is losing a wrestling match with Jacob? Shouldn't God be great at everything? And so it occurred to me that at this point, God is making a choice because God could choose to win. And we see that in the fact that God puts Jacob's hip out of joint permanently. That's it. He limps for the rest of his life. But that's all God does. Jacob keeps holding on, keeps being persistent, keeps saying, I'm going to win this. I'm going to get my blessing. I'm going to get what I want. And God could make the decision to win, except that would mean hurting Jacob. It would mean injuring Jacob in a way that would be more than just a hip out of joint, that God would have to hurt Jacob, and God doesn't want to hurt Jacob. God doesn't want to hurt any of us. That's how much God loves us, that God will say, I will lose this. I will lose this battle with you. I will lose this contest with you. Because if I don't, you'll get hurt. And at the top of my list of priorities, because I love you, is making sure you don't get hurt. And that is what we see in Jesus Christ as well. When God comes to earth as Christ and comes as flesh to dwell among us, God is here trying to heal our hurt. To say, I will go into the dark places and the rough places and the scary places in this world, and I will bring you out. And not only that, but I will go into the dark and frightening and terrible places beyond this world, and I will bring you out because I love you. And that is the God who invites us to prayer. The God who is our help, that when, as the psalmist says, I lift my eyes to the hills, from where is my help to come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God wants to hear our prayers. And so as I round out this message to you, I want to give you a how-to, if you will, on prayer. Because as Episcopalians, we really love this book, our Book of Common Prayer. It has a prayer for just about anything and everything that you could possibly need. There is a list of no fewer than 50 prayers in the back for birthdays and anniversaries and people who are ill and people who are struggling with addiction and people who are traveling. And so it can be hard to get away from trying to find the perfect thing to say. And so instead, I want to show you a way to pray that I like that may be helpful to you. And it's a very easy acronym to remember. It is ACTS, the ACTS of prayer. The A stands for adoration, that we can adore God in prayer. And it can be something as simple as, wow, that rose window looks beautiful today with the sunlight that God has sent through it. The C is for confession, to recognize that sometimes we get something wrong. Oftentimes, we get something wrong. I got up on the wrong side of the bed today and I was not as patient as I should have been with people in front of me. And Lord, I am sorry that I was thinking rude things about how they should hurry up. That was wrong of me and I want to do better. Thanksgiving is what the tea is for. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for listening to my prayers. Thank you, Lord, for seeking to keep me safe. And the S is for supplication, which is just a fancy word for ask. And that is where we put all of our wants and desires and hopes and prayers and needs is in supplication. Lord, help me to get through this day. Help me to be patient. Help me to be kind. Help me to love as you have loved me. So that's acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And so if you're ever at a loss for prayer, a loss for words, you can grab for that acronym if it helps, especially if you're in the car. I don't recommend picking up your book while you're driving. And God is there waiting, waiting to hear from you, waiting to feel your persistence and to be with you in that moment and to dwell with you when you are down and out or when you are having the best moment of your life. God is with you and loves you. The maker of heaven and earth is our help. Amen.
Amen.